And get started. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you glory, Father. We thank you that you open our eyes that we hear, our eyes that we see, our ears that we hear, and you give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I guess we do a wrap-up tonight. And since this seems to be, what, our last class together? It's been a good year. Glory to God. It's been a good year. And so what I really didn't prepare a lesson for tonight. What I was planning on doing was doing a wrap up, going over some of the things that we've covered during the year, the whole year, beginning from the first semester, and some of the things that The whole Coach of Honor is about maturing in the things of God. That's the main thing that we are concerned about, and learning how to operate in the kingdom. We've given you some key things over the semester, of who you are, who we are as citizens of the kingdom. We covered, first of all, we gave you, beginning of the class, we gave you what the principle honor states. And I'll just cover that area right now. You say the principle of honor states that accurately acknowledging who people are will position us, which is the church, to give them what they deserve and to receive the gift of who they are in our lives. So I gave you a scripture reference. If you need a scripture reference for that, you can go to Matthew 10 and 41. In Matthew 10:41, it says, "He that receive a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward." And so we can, as a principle that God set up, and so we can also add, "He that receive an apostle in the name of an apostle shall receive an apostle's reward." We gave you God, began to give you God's government. We went over into Isaiah 9 and 6, where we saw that God established his government. We gave you scriptures reference on that. If you turn to Isaiah 9 and 6, we'll go over that again. And like I said, what the Word of God says in Romans 10:17, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God." So if you had never heard these things this semester, you cannot have faith in apostolic government, which is what we are operating here at Word Life Christian Center. So in Isaiah chapter 9, and we talked about in Isaiah 9:6, it say, the scripture reads, says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." It says, "Of the increase of his government and peace," the increase of his government and peace. Remember, we talked about peace being where nothing is missing and nothing is broken. That's where we should be in our lives. But nothing is missing and nothing is broken. "There shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever." And the last part of that, what you said, it says, "And the zeal of the Lord shall perform this." So God said, I'm the one who's reestablishing my government. I'm restoring the government back in the church. So we're out far ahead of most members in the body of Christ, because God has revealed to us, you know, we're on the cutting edge of the things that God is doing right now in the earth. And so, you know, later on, the rest of the body of Christ will catch up where we are, but we'd be so far out in front of them until we'd be operating fully in that government. And that government, in that government itself, that apostolic government that we're operating in, we should be seeing the supernatural operating in our lives as on a natural basis. We went over some scriptures over in Ephesians 2 and 11, where we brought ourselves up in this kingdom, where we see we are a part of this kingdom in Ephesians 2:19, where it tells us that we are no more foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of the household of God. And it is built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We also showed you how God set the God himself is established the gifts themselves. We went over to 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, where he told us that, and we begin at verse 4. That's where I normally begin to read from. If you turn over there. Like I say, these are just some foundational scriptures again, and we just want to cover them, make sure that you have them under your belt. You can put them in your notebooks. You can go back over them. You can look at them, and you don't want to forget these things, because you want to keep them ever before you. The way you make yourself prosperous in this word is the word of God. Joshua 1 and 8, he tells us that this book of the law should not depart out of our eyes, out of our mouth, but that we should meditate in them day and night, and then we make our way prosperous, and we have good success. Also, you can have a twin scripture to that. You can go to Psalm 1 and 1 through 3, and it gets on in there, and then right at the bottom, it say we should be like, you know, if we do this, if we meditate the word day and night, and it say we should be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His fruit shall not wither. And he says, whatsoever we do it shall prosper. Everything. These are things that's available to the citizens of the kingdom. And we are, as Ephesians 19 and 20 showed us, that we are citizens of the kingdom. And since we are citizens of the kingdom of God, which is a supernatural kingdom, then these things are available to us, and we should be operating in them. Again, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we was going there, and beginning at verse 27, when the Apostle Paul began to teach the church, the body of Christ, Corinthian church at Corinthians, and the first thing he told them, if you read the first verse when he began to study this chapter, he said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. I would not have you ignorant of spiritual things. And so many times we don't operate in the kingdom of God because of lack of knowledge. We don't have the knowledge that we need to operate in the kingdom. And so he went through in that same chapter. He began to tell us things like, he gave us the ninefold manifestations of the gifts of the fruits of the Holy Ghost, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, gift of healing, miracles, diverse types of tongues, speaking in tongues and that type of thing. He also, in that chapter, that same chapter, chapter 12, he revealed to us the body itself. And he told us about, you know, the natural body. He told us that every member is important to the body. He said, you know, he was explaining to us in that case how the body of Christ should work. But he also was telling you, you know, how the natural body worked. You know, he told us about the eyes. You know, he said if every part of the body was the eye, he said, where would the hearing be? If everything was the hearing, where would the eyes be? And then he went on and told us in verse 18, he said, and God himself has set the members in the body as he saw fit. So even in this apostolic government, you say, well, my role sometimes in the body of Christ, you say my role in the body is not as important as the rest of the body of Christ. But we have to remember, you know, who did the setting. God himself is the one who did the setting. He's the one who called out individuals to carry out his building. And so your thing is, when God calls you to do things, you know, you don't have your own agenda. You don't have what you want to do. Is what God wants you to do for him and what he can do through you. And that's the most important part. Like Jesus told us John 6:38, one of the things he told us was that when he came down from heaven, he said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. And so that's another thing we who are in the body of Christ have to understand, that we don't have our agenda. that we have the Father's agenda. He's the one who called us, he ordained us, and that we should bring forth fruit. Many times we think it's because of what we've done, our goodness and that type of thing, but it's not what we did, it's who God called, and we're operating in his grace. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church." He said, first apostles, so that's a flow. He began to line it up. He said, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. Then he said, when the government is correct, he said, after that, he said, then you begin to see miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. And Apostle Paul asked the question, you know, just like the body, you know, your whole body is not the eye. He said, are all apostles? And the question is, no, everybody in the body of Christ is not an apostle. Everybody is not a prophet. Everybody is not a pastor. Everybody is not a teacher. Everybody is not an evangelist. And again, God himself has set the members in the body as he sees fit. And so if you turn back and you see that in verse 18, 1 Corinthians 12 and 18, it said, but now God himself has set the members, every one of them. He said, every one of them. He didn't leave out any of them. He said, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. And so that's the thing we have to understand. We also went over in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, where we begin to see that Jesus himself is the one who called those fivefold ministry gifts. He called them ministry gifts or ministry graces, and he gave them to us. Why he gave to those gifts. And he explained to us why and what should be happening with them. Ephesians chapter 4. And I begin again, beginning at verse 4. He said, there is one body and one spirit, even as your call and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He said, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He said, wherefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, you notice the rank here, the order. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Then he went on through and he gave the reason why he gave us these gifts. And the first thing he said is for the perfecting of the saints. That means that those gifts are not for their personal use, our personal use, but it's for mature the saints in the things of God. We are to impart God's graces and gift to them so we all the citizens of the kingdom can operate in the kingdom. Again, when we first come into this kingdom, it's just like being born into a natural world. When a baby is born into this natural world, that baby cannot operate in this natural world the way he should. But he have to be trained. He have to go to school. He have to go to kindergarten, elementary school. He have to go to secondary school, junior high, right on through to, if he's going to specialize into college. It's like if God calls someone to be an apostle, he have to study. He have to specialize in being an apostle. And again, one of my things is, my pet peeves is, you know, we come into the body of Christ and we go in church, and after, a set period of time, you know, we learn a couple of scriptures, 1, 2, 3, 4 scriptures, and then you think God has told us to go out there and open a church up on the corner somewhere. And what we got? We got the blind leading the blind, and we all are falling in the ditch together. And so basically that's, we see that every day, but we who are learning and maturing, we understand what's happening, so we can, we can go a little bit further anyway. God is constantly moving. He's progressing. And so, you know, we don't get to a place and we stop. As long as God, as long as we are moving and God is giving us progressive revelation, we just continue to grow with God. God is so massive and so big until, you know, with that little stuff that, you know, we've learned, these little few little scriptures that we learned, it's not even like, it's like touching, you know, we like a drop in the ocean. You know how big the ocean is? And it's like a drop in the ocean. And so as we, as God is moving, we continue to move because he's always revealing things to us, you know, because he's, that's how massive he is. And so it goes on to say, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, that's part of what they, after they come, we, you know, the fivefold ministry gifts are to work in the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then right here at 13, it says, until we all come into the unity of the faith, a long way to go, and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Again, he said that perfect twice, so that's a mature man. He said, unto the, right here, say, unto a perfect man. He said, and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We who are citizens of the body of Christ, and we made this statement during this somewhere in the semester, that we have to come to a conviction that Jesus Christ himself modeled this life for us, or what a citizen of the kingdom should be. And that's what we should be. And so if he modeled it for us, we should eventually try to get to that point, you know, to the fullness, like what she says. She said, unto the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus. So when Jesus came, he walked up on sickness and disease. If he saw it there, he would eliminate it, because he knew that was not part of the kingdom. When Jesus came, he in 1 John 3:8, one of the things he said Jesus was manifested in the earth that he might destroy the works of the devil. So that's part of what we should be doing. We should be doing the exact same thing. We should, when we walk up on someone who's sick, we should be able to, like the word of God said, we should be able to lay hands on the sick and they should recover. And, you know, just because it don't happen the first time, we don't stop doing it. We just continue to do it. You know, every time, you know, you see it. You know, you know, Jesus, he, you know, and I think about, you know, we've covered areas. And Jesus really didn't, he didn't pray for people. He just walked up and say, you know, he said, you want to be healed. And if they say, yeah, I want to be healed, then they say, you know, get up and take up your bed and walk. Like he told that man who had been sick for 38 years, waiting by the pool of Siloam. He was sitting there and waiting for somebody to put him in the pool. You know, and he had an excuse about why. He said, you know, when every time the angel come down and stir the water, he said, I can't find no man to put me in. That was not what Jesus asked him. He asked him, do you want to be healed? And so, and once he told him, he said, take up your bed and walk, and he did that. And so it ain't about us, it's about us doing. James tells us over in James 1, he said, we should not be just hearers of the word, but we should also be doers of the word. He said, hearers, he said, we're like a natural man who see ourselves in the mirror. We walk away and we forget what type of man we are. So if we're coming in here on a daily basis, on Sundays, on Wednesdays, on Saturday morning, and we're hearing all this word, somewhere along the line, we need to go out and practice it. We need to go out and do it and not just keep it locked up. Because what happened when we eat in the natural and we continue to eat and we sit down, we don't do anything about it, we don't do no exercise, guess what? We just get fat and, you know, stomach, you know, gets out there and we get, you know, sort of lazy and sluggish. So God said, I want y'all to do this thing. Jesus, what did Jesus tell us over in John 14? He said, he that believeth on, that's why he said, we get to the fullness of the stature who Christ Jesus is. Turn to John, go over there and look at it and see it in the word and see how he said it. And if he didn't say it, then that would make the word of God a lie if we cannot do these things. And remember Numbers 23:19, what he says in over there, 23:18, he said, God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he shall make it good. So God said himself, say, I'll make it good. So here in John 14:12, and again, that's why I say, you know, he wants us to get to that stature. He said, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, He that believeth on me, which we do by making that confession, he said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these. He said, because because I go unto my Father. And so what he was telling them, he said, when I have to leave here, but I'm going to send you the same source, same power that I had when I was operating here on the earth in me, that's going to be in you, and you can do those works. Why? Because you're going to have the same power that I had. But we have to know that. We have to know that we have that power in us. We have to know that we have the Holy Spirit in us to help us to carry out the works of Jesus and carry out the Great Commission. Part of what we've been called to do is carry out this Great Commission. Bring people into the kingdom of God. Edify the body of Christ. He told us, the works that I do shall you do because I go unto my Father. And he was giving the disciples at that time a hint of what was going to happen. And so if you look over in Luke 24 and 49, and you see what he was getting ready. He had walked the earth those 40 days before ministering on the kingdom of God and how the kingdom shall operate. He was teaching them how the kingdom operate. Then he told them right before he got ready to ascend, he said, but you, everybody, he said, tarry ye here in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He said, I'm going to send that same thing that I was operating in while I was here on the earth, and I'm going to send it to you. But you got to tarry until you receive it. And you say, not just will you receive it, but you shall be endued with it. And so that's another thing that we have to do. We have to understand that we do need the Holy Spirit in order to do what we need to do. He's our executor. He orchestrate us through this supernatural kingdom, and when he helps us, when he leads us, we can operate in the supernatural because he's our helper in the kingdom of God. In Acts 1 and 8, again, turn over there. Just like I said, just some things that we covered during the year. We can go back over them. We can look at them and see them. You can see them in the Word. And again, as all these scriptures, everything that you've heard, God has ministered much through all these instructors during the year. And what you should do, we should do, is go back over, look at these passages of scripture, every one of them. And when he was speaking, see what he was saying to you when he said to those scriptures. If you don't understand them, then we got the Holy Spirit, and he will help you to understand what he's saying to them. You want to learn, you want to grow. You want to learn as much as possible in the thing. The more you learn about something, it's easier for you to do it. It's easier for you to operate in these things. And we, everybody know we got an adversary. We got an enemy. And his job is he's going to come at you in many ways as he possibly can. And our job is to know that we can defeat him. He's already defeated. But when he comes to us, he understands that we know some things and he can't put these things on us because we got the truth on those things. Amen. So over in Acts chapter 1, again, like I said, just going through covering some areas that we've covered during the semester, and you can go back and look at them. Here in Acts chapter 1, and again, I tell people, I say it's not Jesus, it was not a casual accident when he told them to tarry. We find out that he commanded them to tarry over in Luke 24 and 49. Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, it says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. He was just not doing them. He was also teaching them to the body of Christ, or to the apostles of the time. He said, until the day in which he was taken up, after that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. He said, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proof, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom. That's right there, that whole time that he was here. After his resurrection, he was walking the earth and he was telling the apostles and everybody who was listening about the kingdom and how the kingdom should operate. He went on to say, and being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. He said, but wait for the promise of my Father, which he said, you've heard of me. Then he talks about the two baptisms. He talks about John the Baptist truly baptized with water. He said, but then he went on to say, with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And again, at that time, they didn't understand what he was saying, but, you know, they thought he was talking about restoring a natural kingdom to the earth at that time. But he was not talking about a natural kingdom. He was talking about a spiritual kingdom. That's what we're in. We are in a spiritual kingdom. We are spiritual beings, and he's teaching us how to operate in this spiritual kingdom. And he goes on to say, in verse 8, he said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So he said, that's what he told. He said, when you be endued with power from on high, you're going to operate in the same power that I operated in when I was here on the earth. We also found out that we are unpunishable. We cannot be condemned. Romans 8, 1 and 2 said, there's no condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He said, for the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin. And so then the Apostle Paul said, we just can't say we're free. We have to walk in this freedom that Christ Jesus has provided for us. Everything that we need in this kingdom, he has already done it for us. And all we have to do is Romans 5:17. Say, what did he say? He said, he that receiveth this abundance of grace and this gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. And so if we are not reigning in life, then we're not, we're not doing what the Word of God tells us we can do. And so we have to receive, it's a free gift. Ephesians 8 says, how we receive it, we receive it by faith. Ephesians 8 says, we're saved by grace through faith. It is not of ourselves, but it is a gift. It's a gift of God. God has provided for us. Everything. Again, we have to know that everything that we need to operate on the earth through the cross, Jesus took care of it. He took care of everything for us. Our sickness, our lack, our poverty, our lack of oppression, our lack of depression. 3 John 2. And this is how God feels about us. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So our soul, everything, every part of us should be prospering. Why? We are citizens of this awesome kingdom. And see, Jesus knew that. And so that's why he wants us to come to the fullness of the stature who Christ Jesus was. And once we come to that point, then we can operate like he did when he was here on the earth. Turn to Luke chapter 2. Let me see something here. He keep pointing over there. So I'm going to have to go over there and look at it. I tell you what, go over to Luke chapter 4. And that's why I keep saying, you know, the enemy, we have an enemy, an adversary, and he can always come at you in some way. And so here in Luke chapter 4, and this is, you know, what Jesus was. Jesus, it says in beginning at verse 1, it says, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, he said, returned to Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Word of God in Romans tell us that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He said, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they was ended, he afterward hungered. And so that was at his weakest point. And so when he was at his weakest point, you know, I know Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost, because when he came up out of the water, you know, the Word of God tells us that the heavens was open and the Spirit of God led on him like a dove. And when he did, you know, the Spirit of God spoke to him. He heard a voice from heaven say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And he goes on here. He said, and the devil said unto him, he said, if thou be the son of God. So now Jesus had to show what he had, just like he did Eve. You know, he made a statement. He didn't say you not. He said, he told Eve that that, you know, God didn't say you was going to be like him if you eat off the tree. He said, you know, and so he began to deceive Eve. But he Jesus said, you know, when he came to Jesus, he said, if you be the son of God, he told him to turn these stones into bread. And the first thing that Jesus did, he went straight to the word. He said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So that gives us a little hint there. When the enemy come at us with any situation, what we want to do is find out what God said about that situation, what he's already provided for me in the kingdom. So that was that, you know, like I said, that was, you know, a little top secret there, a little digging into it. And you see it. So whenever any type of life situations, you know, it's not your life. You know, because we know we got abundant life. Jesus gave us abundant life. And since we have abundant life, that can't be my life because I'm in Christ Jesus. But if we have life situations that come against us, and when those life situations come against us, and then we break out the word, we get the word. And no matter what the facts say, the truth gonna always override the fact. Always. It's gonna always override the facts. And so when I find the truth on it, now, you know, they can come to me and they tell me, you know, I got cancer, but I know the truth. And, you know, Isaiah 55 and 4 tells me the truth. Amen. That he was wounded for my transgressions, he was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes, Jesus took care of it on the cross for me. Amen. You know, he bled for me before that. And so I have to know that. Any, like I say, any situation. I don't have enough, you know, money to do what I need to do. But the word of God said, you know, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory, Philippians 4:19. He said, because his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, I'm in him. And so when I need something, I go to the word for it, you know, and when I go to the word for it, guess what? He got to supply it because his word said he's going to supply it for me. And so, you know, and that's where faith come in, you know, and faith come in, you know, we have to have faith in the things of God. We had faith when we came into this kingdom, and we have to have faith also when we try to get the things from God. Everything in the kingdom, it have to be received by faith. Hebrews 11:1 say, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so when we see see the word of God, even though it don't manifest, we know that we got the word of God on it, and it's going to do like it did over in I like Father Abraham. You know, he got so to the point that he became fully persuaded that what Romans 4:21, you know. And like I said, God has, you know, he's open. He began to open up this manual to us that we can take this manual and we can walk through. We just got a situation, did you read the manual? Did you see what the manual said about that? And when you get the manual is going to help. You know, we young men, old men, we get things for Christmas for our children and grandchildren. And we think we can just put it together by looking at it. And when it get put it all together, we got pieces over here and pieces over there. You know, all of them go in there. And so that's what we do in the body of Christ many times. We take this thing and we try to put it together, and it's not working. We go back to the manual, find out what the manual says, and then operate accordingly to what the manual says. We also know that, it's a process. You know, it don't happen immediately, but we have to continue to do it. We have to do it. One of the things that, turn to Mark 4 again over there. And like I say, these are just some of the things that we tried to cover this year and sort of help us out a little bit. And what Jesus was talking about here, he began to talk about, he talked about the parable. He talked about people who receive the word and what happens to them when, we get in that same situation. The body of Christ gets in that same situation. And what happens to when the word can be sown in your heart, and Satan will come along and seal that word out of the heart, and it does you no good. See, and so that's what Jesus, when he was talking about the parable of the sower in Mark 4. Go back and read it sometime and, just cover it and look over it. And then he got down, as he was teaching about this parable of the sower, and so his disciples, they didn't understand what he was saying. And so they came to him and they said, what are you telling me about that? And they said, he said, well, if you don't understand this, then there's a whole bunch of things in the kingdom that you're going to miss. He says there's going to be a bunch of them you're going to miss if you don't understand this, because the word is going to go forth and you're not going to understand what it's saying. One of the things he said in there, he said, it is for us who are citizens of the kingdom to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And so one of the mysteries of the kingdom is making sure that we get the word and we maintain it, And so he goes on to say here, and he said, so or so the word in verse 14. But then he gets down to verse 26, Mark 4 and 26, and he began to tell what the kingdom is like. And he says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. I mean, the word. He said, he done told us what the seed was. So here he said the seed was the word of God. And he's saying that man sleeps night and day, and that seed springs up and grows. He knoweth not how. He said, you don't know how the seed grows when you plant a natural seed in the ground. If I took wanted an oak tree, I would take an acorn and I would plant it in the ground. But that when that seed begin to do its thing, the outer husk have to come on, the outer shell have to come off, everything that's on the inside have to come out, and then it begins to grow. You begin to see, first a little shoot that comes up out of the ground. He's saying that seed in your spirit, man, that seed becomes like the earth itself. And he said, then it begins to grow. He said that seed springs up and grow. You know not how. And then he said, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. He said it becomes a process, but just know that it do works. He's saying immediately, he said, when the fruit has come, he said, immediately you put in the sickle, because the earth brings forth fruit of itself. So when you put the word in, the inside of you, that seed is going to manifest itself. And whatever you see, whatever you put in there is going to manifest on the outside. So that's going to be what you're creating for yourself. We are creators. We was created in God's image. God said, let us create. Genesis 1:26. Let us create man in our image after our likeness. And he said, let them have dominion over the fowls of the air, over the fish of the sea. And then he said, over every creepy thing that creepeth up on the face of the earth. And so we have dominion. Adam lost that dominion, but through Christ Jesus, he brought it back and he gave us that dominion back again. So we should be as citizens of the kingdom. Know that we are citizens of the kingdom and operate in the kingdom like God told us. Again, we are an apostolic ministry. We are operating on an apostolic government, just like they did when they got filled of the Holy Ghost. Turn to Acts chapter 2. And some of the things that we can see happens. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And so this is what we're doing. We continue steadfastly. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So again, we're back to the apostolic government again. Just remember that we are under apostolic government. We are under the doctrine of when the ministry first came into being after they got filled with the Holy Ghost, and it was called the apostolic government, foundation. Again, foundation built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Always remember that. Here, Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone, and everything else is built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And then all the other gifts should come under that umbrella of those apostles and the prophets. And when that's happening, then we should see signs and wonders, like, you know, naturally. We should be operating in the supernatural naturally. Just like breathing, it should, you know, come to you so natural until you, you know, you don't think to breathe. You know, you can operate in the supernatural the same way. And so, again, I'll turn to Acts chapter 5. Again, you know, word of God said by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Here in Acts chapter 5, verse 11, it's saying great fear came upon all the church and upon he said, and upon as many as heard these things, and by the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Many signs and wonders. And so, you know, we know that Jesus, we have a conviction that Jesus modeled this life for us. And so since he modeled this life for us, you know, everywhere he went, there were signs and wonders and miracles, and people was amazed at some of his teachings and some of his acts. And so then the Apostle Paul came along, and the apostles came along and began to do the same thing. And you know, as you read through here and you see things like, you know, and say even their shadows, they got to a point that even their shadow people would get healed. Think about that. You know, that's where we should be. That's where we should be going. Those are the things we should be operating in. And God said, you know, if as long as you're doing it and operating and maturing in the things of God, we can do this, because that's where we're going. That's our destiny, to go to the fullness of the stature of who Christ Jesus was when he was here on the earth. And let me go to the last part. And like I say, well, we found out that the apostles and the prophets, they are trying to hear from heaven. They're trying to find out what heaven wants here on the earth. They're, you know, they're spending their time in prayer. The apostles, specifically the apostles and the prophets, are the apostles. They find out what heaven wants, and they're bringing that to heaven. They're bringing what heaven wants here on earth and bringing that to the earth. And so as long as we are doing a 1041, taking that as a prophet, taking that apostle as an apostle, and we know that whatever comes out of his mouth is coming from heaven, and we can rely on that. We can know that's the truth, you know, because it's coming from heaven. He spent his time in prayer and ministering the word, so he's hearing from heaven. As if we're receiving him as who he is, as God, as that culture of honor part, we're receiving him as an apostle. And so, you know, if I'm not receiving him as apostle, I'm in the wrong place. I'm not connected properly. I'm in the, you know, I don't believe this person. So then I might as well go somewhere else. I might as well go on out to the ballroom and get me, you know, a couple beers and go ahead and drink it up. And so, but you know, if I'm not going to believe that's who he is, and so I have to get to that point that this is my man of God. He speaks for God to me and for my situations. So whatever comes out of his mouth, I'm going to take it. I can tell you, you know, when I begin to pray for something, no matter what it is, if I'm praying about something, I can come here on a Sunday morning or Wednesday, and I'm going to get my word from God. It's going to come through the mouth of the apostle, you know, that God has given, who has set me under. And so I'm connected. You have to connect that way. You have to understand, you know, I have no agenda at Word of Life Christian Center. The only agenda I have is what Word of Life Christian Center have. And that agenda is changing the lives of people with the Word of God, equipping the body of Christ to evangelize the world. And then when I do what God tells me to do, then I become Home of Covenant winners. It works. The word works. Even when every part of this word works. You know, I'm a witness. You know, I'm a witness that the word works. You know, and so, you know, there are many things that, you know, has happened in my life. I could tell you it's enough in this room. I wouldn't even fill this room up over the things that God has done for me. You know, since I've come under this ministry and just listening to God, you know, through the man of God. And so he, like I said, again, he's finding out what heaven wants, the apostle and the prophet. The prophet, Jeremiah, which was one of the major prophets, God said, before I form you in the womb, before you came out, you know, before I form you in the, and he said, I knew that I had ordained you to be a prophet of the world. So, you know, when I saw that, I said, you know, we talk about pro-life and that type of thing, but God said, I know who you was going to be before you got here, before you even got into your mother's womb. I knew who you was going to be. And so those are the type of things that the Word of God revealed to us. And when we get to a point that we can't, you know, we don't, you know, sometimes, you know, you get a little lonely. You don't know what's happening, but it's exciting. It's the Word of God is exciting. You want to make, you know, and so what you do, you know, God, the Apostle Paul has helped us along. He said, prayers like in Ephesians chapter 1, you know. And you go back there and you begin to look at them. He told us, you know, all we have to do is meditate in them, you know, day and night. Don't look at them. He said, look at them. He said, and don't let them depart out of your eyes, out of your mouth. You meditate in them day and night and you make your way past to have good success. And you go to get a scripture like in Ephesians. Go over and look at that one. And he will help you. The Spirit of God will help you so much. The great apostle Paul, he said, and then, like I say, you know, these are prayers, they already ordained, they've already gotten answers to our prayers that you need. So if he got an answer for it, I mean, I can get an answer for it also. So I can use the same prayer, and rather than putting himself in it, I can put my name in there. And so I can say me, I can say I. And here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, the apostle Paul said, I cease not giving thanks for you, making mention of you in our prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. It then, you know, right here said that the eyes of your, and instead of saying your, you know, yeah, your eyes will be open too. But I said that my eyes may be open. See, I put myself, my eyes in there. And then and when it said that the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I might know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of glory and his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Then he go on to say, for above all principalities and powers and mights and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is come, and had put all things under his feet. You know, he didn't, if he'd have left something out, so well, that may have a chance to get me. But all things has been put under his feet. And he goes on to say, and had put all things under his foot and made him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So we are his body, the head, and all we have to do is follow along. But like I say, you know, the Holy Spirit, that's why he sent him to us. That anything that we don't know, we hear something that we don't understand, he's called the helper. And that's his purpose, is to help us to walk through this spiritual kingdom. I've enjoyed this class. I've enjoyed y'all. I've been very receptive. And, you know, y'all, I've been able to teach. It's been easy teaching to y'all this semester. And I thank y'all very much. Father, we thank you and we praise you and we give you glory, Father, for what you've given to us to give to your people. We thank you, Father, that they are no longer just hearers of what you tell us, but they also become doers of what you tell us to do. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. The final exam would probably come from, you know, the two previous exams. That's what I normally do, is go through the exams, take out the same course. You know, my purpose is not to fail anybody. I just want you to know the information. As you notice, I don't have too many false, you know, my true and false, because I want you to know the truth. Amen. Thank y'all. Thank you.